Yesterday, on this station, we carried it live and exclusively, the annual April Fool's Open. Our golf tournament held every April to crown the ticket's worst golfer and the ticket's best worst golfer. And yesterday we had a field of seven competing in the April Fool's Open at Prairie Lakes Golf Course in Grand Prairie. And all of the ticket hosts were there either playing in it or commentating on it. And the broadcast was a wild two-hour ride, as you might imagine. The seven-person field included Gen X Davy Lane, David Mino, EA, who was the lava lamp of the entire event, Mark Elfenbein, Matt Birmingham, who am I leaving out here? I look at my scoreboard, which isn't coming up. Yes, from our crew, Ryan Baldwin and Jacob Dedamore. And I believe that's it. That's all seven. And it started, as always, with Grant Boone from the Golf Channel and NBC Sports, longtime golf announcer, longtime P1, friend of all of ours, doing profiles for each player. And this is my favorite moment of every April Fool's Open. We won't play all seven. If you were listening yesterday, you heard all seven. But here's his profile for EA.
Making his second appearance in the April Fool's Open is board op, producer, host, and staff meteorologist, Ehsan EA Azad, a man with the versatility of a Swiss Army knife and the name of a Syrian Army sniper. The pre-tournament pick by Al Jazeera, he's the John Ramadan of golf. Known for his long game, at least when it comes to predicting the weather, with the same keen insight that trusts the AccuWeather forecast because it's accurate, EA has spent the last month learning the finer points of golf terminology, like the green, which he says he can easily identify because it's green. So when the scorecards are submitted and finally shummed up, let's see if the sun shines on him.
Those are so great.
It's sunshine.
EA has now become my favorite golfer.
Yes.
Ahead of Jordan Spieth. I would rather watch EA play than Jordan.
Yes, I retweeted Cruz and Alito's video of EA on the first tee yesterday. And it is truly amazing.
We got to get that to CBS. They've got to analyze that swing.
How would you describe that swing?
Really vertical. No extension whatsoever. I would call it compact, but it's a unfolding lawn chair. And the club should never be in any of those positions at any point during a golf swing.
Everybody needs to see this video because he swings and misses. He whiffs on the first one, but he hits the ground about 2 feet behind the ball, then misses the ball. Then he doesn't know he missed it until he looks down under his arm to see the ball still on the tee, and his reaction is very Laurel and Hardy.
He can't believe it. What? Oh, yeah, it's still on the tee, and yeah, he hit a foot behind it, and the club bounced over the ball. And man, when he was in front of the water on the par four, and I guess it was just six whiffs. I think I said earlier it was eight, but he whiffed it six times because he had a really tough downhill lie. That's the first time I'd seen him all day long, and I wasn't ready for the swing. And that swing that whiffed it six times and then caught so little of the ball with the club, but just the inside part of the hosel, that it then went between his legs. I've never seen a ball do that before.
It's the hardest that I've heard you laugh since Jillian left a 3-inch putt short. And unfortunately, that was not on the air.
Oh,
we were broadcasting at another hole location at the time. But we do have, this is from P1 Hunter. He was rolling on this on his cell phone, so the audio's not great, but he did capture that moment.
The amount of ground he has put in that lake is incredible.
The downhill line is good.
So we didn't get all of George's laugh, and we were listening to Corby's laugh, too, in our ears, because he was laughing at George's laugh, and you heard Matt on there. We didn't get the full George laugh there, but that was a little snippet of it.
That initial big laugh in the background is killer, just losing it.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was like a cartoon. We've talked about EA just being like a big walking stuffed bear, a big teddy bear, and that's basically what he is.
Of course.
No surprise, EA finished in last place, so he is crowned the worst golfer at the ticket. He was 38 over par. He had an 18 on the par 5. He had a 12 on the par 3 and a 20 on that par 4 that we just heard. So EA brought up the rear. The winner of the April Fool's Open was this man.
The feel-good story of this year's April Fool's Open belongs to Hardline co-host Dave Lane, who since last year's AFO fathered another child, thus cementing his place as the tournament's number one seed. Using both his breakfast ball and matrimonial mulligan, Gen X Davey found his third marriage a charm with the daughter of legendary Raiders quarterback Ken Stabler. Conspiracy theorists trace that most immaculate of conceptions back to the night of last year's AFO. And on Christmas Day, into a sea of hands came their little holy roller, a son, the spitting image of his forebears, with the salt and pepper hair of his dad and his grandfather's full beard. In what feels like a date with destiny, par for the AFO's three-hole gauntlet is the same number as his father-in-law's jersey. A little over 3 months since his wife gave birth. Can Davey deliver today?
And yes, Davey did deliver. And this was the shot of the day. Davey, who on his first hole took a 13 when he got into tree trouble on the par 5. On his final hole, I think he had had things figured out.
Drives it right down the middle. Great. Perfect drive from Dave Lane.
Uh-oh.
It goes towards the green.
What?
He's right next to the green.
Oh, wow, he's
maybe
green high.
Holy green.
Cow.
Oh, my God, he drove the green on a par 4?
He drove over the green. Yeah, we're seeing
that. Wow.
You are absolutely kidding me.
That was incredible, fellas.
That sounded great.
Yeah, it did. It sounded legit.
Yes. And ladies and gentlemen, the champ joins us now, Gen X Davey Lane, your 2024 April Fool's Open winner. Congratulations, Davey.
Thank you, Musers. Thank you so much.
What can you describe that shot that we just listened to, that tee shot on number three, and what you were feeling?
Yeah, so that was the par four downhill, and it was intimidating because that was the one hole where they had a mic set up on the tee box to catch the contact of the ball. And so that was extremely intimidating for me. And we were required to hit driver on the par five, but I had been hitting it. It's my buddy's bag that I borrowed because my clubs are terrible. And so it was a real driver, and I was hitting it okay at the range, and I hit it okay on the five. So I just decided to keep hitting it off the tee, even on the par three. And so then when I got to the par four, I don't know why, but maybe it was just because the fairway was a little bit wide open and it was downhill. I just gripped it and ripped it and hit the best shot I've ever hit in my entire life.
That was really impressive. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think that's where the hockey player in you came out yesterday, because hockey players are good golfers and they make really good contact with the ball, and that was it. And that tells me you have a future in this game.
Yeah, my bugaboo has always been consistency, because I lose my form and my wrists go all limp.
Yeah,
as you might expect, Gordon.
He loves that.
And so I credit my caddy. Taylor Young was my caddy, and he hasn't played golf in forever, but he grew up playing golf. And so he was letting me know how I was rolling my left wrist, and I needed to keep my left wrist straight. And just my grip on the club became a lot more consistent yesterday. And so my short game was bad. but I was at least decent off the tee, and for that one hole, I couldn't believe it that it was like maybe 20 yards past the green.
Amazing. What were the emotions like for you right after the tournament, having been crowned champion, and then last night as you go home to your family and it's all sinking in?
Yeah, it was a relief, because I really wanted to win this year. I thought I had a chance last year, and then I just played terrible. And I thought I was going to play terrible again after I blew up on the first hole, but I'm glad I got the par five out of the way. And again, credit to my caddy. He was like, that's in the past. We're going to just hit the reset button, and we're just going to focus on the two holes we have left. And went bogey, bogey, had par putts on each that I missed. But I felt good. I felt relief because it was down to the wire. Mino could have beaten me, but he had that horrible par five for his last hole.
Yeah, he completely exploded.
Yeah, I mean, it fell apart for him, and then he ended up like four putting after he kind of got into trouble near the water. And so, yeah, when it was real, when I was crowned champion, it was quite a relief that I did fulfill my destiny. And then when I got home, my infant son smiled at me for the first time.
Oh, that's a great story.
Finally is accepting you.
You're a champion now, so. That is great. Yeah, it'll be known as Davy's Charge. Back-to-back bogeys. That's
never happened.
Never
right?
happened. No. No one's ever put back-to-back bogeys up before. That was
a legend.
Truly amazing. Yeah. And did you and Taylor go home and smoke the trophy that is a wooden block that has a little notch cut out of it?
I got the right size drill bit and hollowed it out as soon as we got home. No, we did. We did. So Taylor just got married back in the fall, and the only gift on the registry that was his was a Jimmy Buffett Margaritaville margarita machine. And they don't have room to store it, and so it's in our pantry. So he and his wife came over after the tournament last night, and we fired up the Margaritaville margarita machine.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Heck nice. Yeah. So classy.
What a way to celebrate.
It was real classy.
Well, Davey, congratulations. We're very happy for you. That was an amazing performance yesterday. Davey's Charge, and he wins the April Fool's Open.
Thank you. Yes, I am now graduated from the field, much like Tyler.
Yes.
And I hope to actually begin a amateur golf career at this point.
Good.
It's the time in my life. It's my glow up 50s decade. So I'm going to try and become a golfer now.
Time to play golf.
Yes.
To what?
Play golf.
All right, Davey, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Way to go, Davey.
Play golf.
There he goes, the champion. Davey wins it at 10 over par. He does not break our very own Tyler Samsel's all-time tournament record of +8. Davey was +10, so Tyler is still in the record books there. Finishing in second place was our very own Deddy, Jacob Dedamore, +13, just 3 shots back of Davey.
Yeah, have to say I was a little bit inspired by Dave's play, and I tried to keep up.
I can see
with the old waiver.
And as Corby described him, the saddest man in golf, David Mino, who blew up on that final hole, finished tied for third at +15 with Mark Elfenbein. Elf had a celebrity on his bag, the great Tony Casillas, Super Bowl champ, national champ, was caddying for Mark Elfenbein. And Mino also had a celebrity on his bag. Once again, out there caddying was David Hulse, the former Rangers center fielder. Good time had by all. A lot of P1s were out there. I think everybody had a good time watching the April Fool's Open.
I love that tournament so much. It's great.
We'll have to talk more to Baldy when he gets back. He's on vacation this week, but our ticker guy, Ryan Baldwin, he was +18. He had a birdie putt. He had a 40-foot putt for birdie, and I think he could have, I don't know if he could have won it, but I think he would have been in the mix if he had used a real putter and not a hockey stick.
Yeah.
Because he hit the ball well.
He did a bit, and it wasn't like a custom-made golf hockey stick. It was a hockey stick.
Yeah.
You can't putt with that.
We should also note the most improved player was Matt Birmingham. He was dead last year, but this year he finished in a tie for fifth with Baldy at plus 18. And on one hole, he improved by 20 shots. On the par five, yeah, instead of a 32, he had a 12. An amazing performance by Ham.
Boy, his sunglasses yesterday were hilarious. God, he's funny.
We did have the April Fool's Open yesterday, and a fun, fun broadcast out at Prairie Lakes in Grand Prairie.
Yes.
Dave Lane, the winner, and I think he was the favorite going in. Dave Lane, Mino, I think Baldy was the wild card. We had no clue how his game was. But Dave Lane.
Correct.
Hit a 320-ish yard drive on the par four. Just creamed it
over the green.
So I was producing down on that end, and I had my back turned to those guys, and all I heard was the explosion off the club.
Yeah, listening to the clip that the Muses played today, it sounded like it sounded great.
He got it all
off the club, and he got it all. He wound up triple bogeying that hole, right?
No, he bogeyed.
Oh, he bogeyed that one. Yeah, okay, that's right. He bogeyed the last two.
Yeah,
drove the green. Drove it over the green on a par four, something that I'm telling you right now, I can't do.
And drives it right down the middle.
Man, that's a nice sound.
It's a great
sound.
He
roped that, man.
But fun times. The broadcast was really fun. I was positioned at the tee box on the par three. I had the honor of being a witness and on the call of the first two shots of the April Fool's Open. David Mino hit one. Got it in the air. It was a golf shot. It went a little right, but it was surprisingly a nice ball flight for David Mino. And then EA steps up with a driver on the par three. And he whiffed the first one, but he got a hold of the second one that worm burned in the middle of the fairway. And that's all you want to be, in the middle of the fairway.
And he walked off like he walked off a home run.
Yeah, he did, and he admired
down
it.
Green.
He was strutting hard. I was watching from the par four, and I was like, was that his first shot? And then to find out that he whiffed before that.
That was, and Junior Miller did retweet the video of EA's first swing, and he hit the ground maybe harder than I've ever seen anyone hit the ground about a foot and a half behind the ball. But that's expected when you don't play. And to get contact on the second one, I was pretty proud of EA, and that's probably where the pride went out the door, because he didn't make up for the first whiff, but man, did he whiff a lot. He was
a
finished
lot.
With a 58,
a
plus
50.
58,
He's
a plus 50. 50. Jeez.
Plus 50, he had an 18, a 12, and a 20 were his three hole scores. What's crazy about it is, I remember talking about this yesterday. I was like, EA is going to finish last. And I said, if I had one guy I could take, give me Dave to win.
Yeah, I think if we did the actual Calcutta, Dave would have gone for a lot. The stakes would have been raised.
And somehow I got stuck with EA.
Well, it was just a random drawing.
And I knew I was going to lose.
Stuck with him.
Nothing wrong with that. And on the tee, or the driving range, when he's warming up, he tells me, I got you. He's like, Matt, I'm here for you. And I saw him swing. I was like, I'm losing.
Oh, no. You didn't go over there and try and coach him up?
Yeah,
you
give him
a couple of things, but man, it's...
The wire didn't sink in quite like you hoped.
Let's get to this, because video was sent off to a golf pro, Matt's brother. And what's the brother's name?
Mark.
So Mark analyzed EA's swing.
Yes.
From a golf pro.
Right. So my brother's the head pro over at Merido here in town. He's been a golf pro for however many years now. And so, yeah, I sent him a couple videos. And so my brother, he doesn't teach many lessons anymore because he's not cheap, but he works with people on their swing and does it for a living and all that type of thing. So I sent him this. Here, I'm just going to read you what he sent me.
Please do.
All right, here we go. So this is my brother in his own words as a golf pro looking at EA swing. Terrible setup, as anti-athletic as you could be. Poor arm structure and the takeaway gets the club too vertical immediately. Allows his left heel to leave the ground to manufacture a turn away from the ball. Swings completely over the top with the club getting on the opposite side of vertical by halfway down. Despite swinging at 15 degrees left on the way to impact, he actually does a nice job of trying to keep the club up the target line post-impact, which is why he is able to contact the ball.
Also, the step through was a solid effort to get the weight to the left side. Terrible mechanics, but does a couple of things I could work with.
It
ended so much better than it started.
It really did. Yeah,
terrible setup.
Horrible.
No athleticism.
Terrible setup, as anti-athletic as you could be. Poor arm structure in the takeaway.
Poor arm structure kind of cuts deep, and I wouldn't have expected it to, but something about the structure of your being not being right, it just really cuts.
Man, half this stuff, I don't even know what it means.
If he can work with that, what can he do with everybody else?
Right, dude.
Oh, he can look at your swing pretty quick and decide very quickly what he can do with you. It's impressive. But, I mean, that's what he does and has been doing for years and years for a living, so... It's fascinating.
Let's get him paired up with EA. Let's get him on EA's bag for next year.
Oh my gosh, that would be so great.
And
as he's trying to make sure, trying to teach on the fly.
And as far off from the leaders as EA was, maybe we could throw him a little bone and he can practice once a month until the next Open with your brother.
That would be amazing because...
Yes. Would that be enough for him to win the April Fool's Open?
The Birmingham Shave 30
but he's working with a pro.
Right.
Yeah, but you got to work more than, he'd have to go out regularly.
It's once a month.
Yeah.
Whole entire year to see if he can win the April Fool's Open. Dude, that is such a wonderful experiment.
What if it was a full month, the full month before?
He gets
the month of March.
Every day.
Yeah, would that be enough?
I don't know. Maybe.
It'll definitely make a difference.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll
be like 30 over.
The way Mark can look at your swing and immediately correct things. So EA, if he did it over and over, he would get to where, okay, now I know to swing this way.
Right.
Yeah.
But see, Ham, with no instruction, no practice, he has Tyler on his bag, of course.
It's a lot of instruction.
But he shaved 20 strokes off of one hole yesterday.
Ham's score yesterday and my score last year, it's lower than his total score last year. That's how much he improved. His putting was amazing yesterday. It was incredible.
Everybody that played, everyone, I think, if they played golf more regularly, would end up being solid, except for EA.
But I think with work, and you're telling him what to do,
it would
100% improve.
The fact that Mark said I could work with that, yes, that means that he could do some things to correct because he doesn't really work with people that are new to golf anymore. He's working with guys that
PGA
Tour level guys. Yeah. So it's, I don't know.
I'd love to see that.
That'd be fascinating.
That would be great.
He's not new. He's a 2-year vet now.
And EA goes out and just pars every hole and just throws the club up in the air.
Dude, we would never hear the end of it.
Yeah, I don't know if we'd be able to live with EA if he parred every hole and won the April Fool's Open.
He gets a hole in one on the
first hole. Don't you know Michael Jordan now?
Wow. I don't know. EA was joining us right now. Michael Jordan
now. We need to take a look back at a tradition unlike any other. It's the 4th annual April Fool's Open, which took place at Prairie Lakes in Grand Prairie yesterday. We had a par 3, a par 4, and a par 5, and Dave Lane, my horse, the victor with a score of plus 10, with back-to-back bogeys on hole 2 and hole 3, including the best shot in the history of the tournament, maybe that we'll ever see in the history of the April Fool's Open. We'll get to that, but the man to my left finished 3rd, and the man to my right tied for 5th? What was your...
Tied for 5th.
Tied for 5th with the score of...
30, I think.
Okay.
Hot dog?
I honestly don't know.
Ham made great progress. I tied for 3rd with Elf. And not really knowing the field going in, I mean, I knew what Elf had. He played last year. He was pretty solid.
A lot of
cologne. We finished around the same area last year. I thought Ham would be a lot better this year, which he was. EA is EA. Lord. And the question marks were Baldy, because... Never saw him play golf. He said he played corner in high school. Dave, I thought Dave would be pretty good. There's no controversy. I'm not accusing him of playing in the recent past. I know he hasn't. But maybe at some point he's played. I figured he'd be a pretty good golfer. He's got the dad strength.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to control what I could control, which was not to screw up more than I had decent shots. And I started out pretty strong. I started on the par three. I did the par three, par four, and par five. It was the same order I played last year. Last year, first tee shot, whiffed. This year, I hit it far. Didn't hit it that straight, but I hit it far.
No, you felt good. You did a club flip.
Yeah, I felt so good about the first hit. I got a putt from, it was probably 12 to 15 feet. It felt like it was about 90 feet for me.
All right.
And David Hulse was incredible. He's the incredible Hulse. Yeah. He was telling me exactly where to hit it. Now, with me never swinging a golf club, it doesn't really matter. But on that putt, he's telling me where to hit it and everything. And I hit it. Didn't feel good about it on the stroke.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this is going to go a little long. And then sinked it. And that was the highlight of my day. Now, I haven't seen video of it. If there's any P1 that has cell phone video of this, I would love to see it. You can email it to me, tweet it to me. I'd love to have that.
It's your crowning goal.
It is. And that was, I shot a five on the par three. I felt really good about that. Went to the par four, hit it pretty decent.
You
off
have a snowman.
Tee.
An eight is okay in this game.
An eight's fine. I should have hit it in one or two more on the green, but, and then we go to the par five, and it felt like things were flying by. I felt pretty good about myself. I had no idea what Dave was doing or Deddy or Baldy. I only knew what me and EA were doing. And we've seen the video of EA. We'll probably get to that.
Yes.
And I figured at that point, I'm either in first place or I'm close to first place, and I'm feeling pretty good. So I get to the par five is Ham knows sucks.
Water.
And it's got water. It's 600 yards to the hole. It's long.
It's got like a weird curve.
Yeah. You never like that weird curve.
It's got Peyronie's.
No, not that kind of curve.
It's the Peyronie's disease of the April Fool's Open. But man, this game is so hard. Like a 600 yard drive. Like you have a little ball and you have to get it.
Yeah.
Within five strokes to put that in a hole 600 yards away.
That's the parameters of the sport.
Like how I have so much respect for not even like professionals, but people that are just decent at this game.
Well,
it's so hard.
Nobody was really decent yesterday other than
Dave
on his two holes.
A monster yesterday.
He was, and I was very proud of him because, you know, I was his host. He was my he was my horse, and he rode us to victory. And, Monty, there was plenty of not good, and I think we've highlighted that in a whole trove full of audio.
Yeah, we got a ton that we're not going to be able to play today, but maybe we'll get to at some point. We had,
we'll just take the 3 o'clock hour today, too. Let's play it then.
That's what we need.
Mino had to tell us about his whole round.
He played
what?
It. He can,
I know. I'm just
he can talk.
What do we got?
So I want to play this. I thought this was pretty funny. Of course, Craig Rosengarten was on the broadcast, which meant fake Craig Rosengarten had to show up a little bit.
We have an update on where David Mino is right now. T-Box guys. David Mino is golfing his ball right now.
You're golfing
now,
wait, your ball.
Was that real Rosen
yeah,
or fake
Rosen? At the end,
Rosen?
Then fake Rosen had to do the with him.
Is here's, golfing his ball right now.
Here's a little more.
Just in case he needs a playoff.
Stay loose.
Stay loose, David.
He might need
that's
that
well done, man.
50-yard drive.
Okay, so...
Rick, let me have Reese's Pieces.
What?
Okay, head wound, Rosengarten. Did you like the Reese's Pieces?
Yeah.
Which color is your favorite?
Orange. Orange.
All right. I can see Mino in the fairway back there. But
So to clarify, that was fake Rosen Rosen, not real?
That was
okay.
Not real. Real.
Kind of confuses
me. Real
Rosen
Rosen was on the tee box for the first hole, or five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Gordo was on the green of six, or hole two. In this
Craig
space.
Rosengarten, what is Mino hitting here? Right is he hitting now. Two or three?
This is third shot. It's double digits for sure. Come on.
Wait.
What are you talking about? Rick Arnett not helping whatsoever.
No. But the meat here was, of course, you know, I'm a big proprietor of EA's podcast, so I had to hear how he felt heading into this thing. And EA, as usual, pretty confident in his abilities to perform.
And that is a good thing.
I love his irrational confidence. I love it.
He has a lot of that.
It's maybe his my favorite trait.
I think it's rational confidence.
Now, well, we'll see. He was very confident going into the tournament yesterday, so I just put together a few things to show you what EA thought would happen and then what actually happened.
A little before and after.
Yeah.
I think he'll find his place. Like,
but I don't see Bally's a threat.
Fifth or fourth.
I don't see him as a threat to me. I think I can be better than Bally.
April Fool's Open. Now EA is on deck. He has a driver for a par three. So Creighton is about to tee the ball up for him.
You need to tell those people to move.
Yes, the people to the right. You guys, you have to please watch yourself. And you know what?
Get killed.
There's a guy sitting in the bench about 3 yards to the right. You need to watch out also.
Oh, EA is pointing like Babe Ruth.
Calling his shot like Babe Ruth. He has a stomach like Babe Ruth. So he now he's addressing the ball. He's over it with the driver.
Oh my God, what is this setup? Oh no.
Oh, and he whiffs. He absolutely just takes a ton of dirt. Ball is still on the tee. Boy, does not move. Okay.
He laid sod over his drive.
He has the worst golf swing ever.
Or sod.
Yeah, I was given the option because I was paired with EA. They're like, do you want to go first or do you want EA to go first? I was like, I want to go first because I don't want to see him whiff and then have that in my mind and then I swing like EA.
Have y'all watched the video of this?
It's incredible.
I saw it with my eyes.
Watch it on replay.
I did post a video of EA's drive on the third hole.
Yeah.
Like it was Mark
Bork.
Lambert.
Matt's brother said he could maybe work with EA, which I find very hard to believe.
I got a couple more here.
So here's my ranking of where I see how it's going to finish. And I know you're going to laugh, audience. I know you're going to laugh. But number one is going to be me. Mm-hmm. I am very confident.
Do we
want to
be number one? Like, do we want? Okay.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
EA just posted a 20 on the par 4 3.
All right.
There you go.
20.
Oh. I mean, 20 could be worse.
It happens. There's been worse scores on. You had, what, a 30? What'd you have last year, Ham?
I think I had a 31.
Okay. On the phones.
And I don't know how he's allowed to play then, but apparently he worked his way into the committee's favor, so he will be in the golf tournament. So I think I could beat Daddy.
Let's head up to the par four. George, Matt McLaren, what do you see up there? I could see EA.
We just saw two whiffs on a chip. And he's over the third time, and he's got it going. It's going go hard, water, and it's going towards
George,
the water.
Oh, no.
And how's he get swimming?
It has met a watery grave.
Oh.
EA has gone for a swim.
That's going to ruin his hole, George.
Behind the green.
Do we have a head count on the number of shots EA's taken? Because this could be the world record on this par 4.
Eight whiffs.
Do we need to go back to the
shoe in the water? That's 10, 11, 12, 13 in the water, 14 out.
He walks like a drunk penguin.
Matt?
His shoe is untied.
Matt's just being mean.
Yeah, Matt took a lot of unnecessary shots. Man. We would never do that.
I happen to love the way EA saunters.
I do, too.
He's got a great gait. Steel-toed. Were they steel-toed athletic
shoes? They were.
Yeah.
And they were untied all day.
What's the purpose of those?
Well, they're like steel-toed boots, but they're...
Traction?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, the last one here was what we call them in Texas.
The most overconfident EA has ever been. And of course, we got to get them yelling.
And I guarantee you, this week, they're going to do the Benin, the little Benin thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where they did last year. And
Benin?
With knowledge of what happened last year, they're going to say no. They're going to say, no, it's not going to happen.
There is a chance that they...
But I'm telling you right now, Creighton.
Yeah, I agree.
Look at my face. Look at my face right now.
I'm looking at...
Look at my eyes.
Yeah.
I'm f***ing winning this thing.
Whoa.
Hit the ball. We're good.
That's right. Let's do it. I got the club. I got the golf ball. And it's going to be hit.
You have the Romo jersey.
I will be wearing my Romo jersey with this time pants.
We'll be ready.
Golf pants.
EA was just off the green using his putter, had about 15 feet downhill. He now has 25 feet uphill.
Golf pants.
And also, Mark, look at me, Creighton.
Creighton.
We need that.
And he had a course record, 38 or 35 on the hole. He beat him.
Okay. Career high.
Golf pants.
He was also talking crap while we were out there.
I love it.
Like, before the par five, he's still, like, trying to get into my head.
I told him today he needs golf lessons, and he said, no, I don't need them.
No.
I'm like, what?
That's why he's
running back. Running back next year.
So if you shoot a 50 over three holes, that's 300 as a round, right? And that's assuming he doesn't get fatigued on the back nine at all.
Right.
Incredible.
It was absolutely incredible.
I can't wait till next year.
I'm proud
year.
Of you. You played Thank well. You. You hung in there till the final hole. I'm proud of Davey for winning it for Team Seabus. So
it was close. The field was close. Davey kind of ran away with it, but
so Davey's now Daddy no was longer good. He can no longer play in the field, correct? Because Davey says he's going to start playing golf.
If he starts playing golf, he can't. But if he wants to run it back next year, I think he can defend his title.
So we could have a 2-horse race between you and Daddy next year.
I'm going to go for it.
What a feature.
But if I get
that
third place again, I'm just feeling like the Buffalo Bills. I feel like it's going to be third place every year with me and Norse.
Well, where would you rather be than right here?
Right now.
Friday Fun Junior, though, because we had fun audio that took place this week. So Dave won the April Fool's Open on Wednesday. Congrats to Davey.
Thank you.
And maybe one of the reasons that he did win is that he and his caddy decided that walking and drinking Mambo taxis from Mi Casino would maybe calm him down a little bit.
Yeah, I needed to reduce my nerves, lubricate my swing.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a skinny Mambos.
Of course.
We had a 2 Mambo lunch and had 2 Mambos in the tumbler on the course.
What a machine.
And for those who don't know, the Mambo taxi may be the strongest local drink that we have. Right?
Allegedly.
It's got a kick to it. They do. And I want to say, if you have like 3 at the restaurant, they'll look at you and be like, that's enough. Thank you.
Well, that was the old wives' tale that they had a 3-drink limit.
Yeah.
But
who goes by that?
Obviously, that is false.
Sure. So Dave ends up winning, but then.
Obviously.
We have a couple of segments to kill after the April Fool's Open. And
you took them off Community Quick Hits as a celebratory thing.
I did.
It turned out to be very much a utility to assist in the situation as well.
Yeah, but
although perhaps in retrospect, it would have been more fun to hear.
It certainly did not eliminate Dave from speaking. And as we were talking about the massage parlor in Plano that got busted, we were introduced officially to Slurry Dave.
When you say that in your...
Why'd you wink at the massage?
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because whenever you do hear that term, do you instantly think of some sort of New England Patriots situation?
Yeah, I think that when you think about, like, a legitimate massage, you think of a spa. And when it is a business that is strictly about massages, then you can probably pass a few 20s, like, under the table.
I feel like his whole brain just kind of slowed.
Everything's
down.
A little slowed down right now.
We should make him say, just let's have Dave read stuff between now and 7 o'clock.
Boy, it did.
But you know what I'm saying?
No,
The massage parlor has a different connotation
I love that part,
than the spa.
Because
but you know what I'm saying.
You shot right back. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. So
there were many times between the end of the round and the end of the show where I would open my mouth and then I would immediately forget what I was saying.
At the end of the round, you'll see a lot of that at the Masters next week too, Bob. Maybe Zalatoris will be so jacked up on Tuesday that he won't even remember finishing.
I just like Dave's old pro trick of just slowing it down and I'll be fine.
Right.
I'll be able to form the words correctly.
And they just sound slower and slower and slower.
Like his battery's dying.
Yeah. Well, luckily, we got into high school private school high school girl talk.
Maybe we should call Clark
Hunt
and ask him if this could be possible. He lives in Dallas. The whole family lives in Dallas.
Right.
That daughter lives in Dallas.
Stop Does it. She?
She's like 30.
She went to Ursuline.
It's Ursuline.
Or did she go to Hockaday?
I don't know. What's the difference, right?
They both wear plaid skirts. That's all I know.
Dave's
Look,
drunk.
He's he's drunk on power. He's a champion golfer.
Yeah,
he's
that's all that matters today.
Right.
That's yeah. all like that matters.
At Belfour after they won the cup.
Hey, all I remember is in plaid skirts.
That's all you know is they were both were plaid skirts.
I'd like to hear. I'd like to hear that one again.
I mean, I used to live in that neighborhood, so you would see
sure.
students from those schools out and about every afternoon.
Uh huh.
And they were recognizable because of the plaid skirts.
You want to hear that again?
That one was pretty great.
All right.
Maybe we should call Clark
Hunt
and ask him if this could be possible. He lives in Dallas. The whole family lives in Dallas.
Right.
That daughter lives in Dallas.
Stop Does it. She?
She's like 30.
She went to Ursuline.
It's Ursuline.
Or did she go to Hockaday?
I don't know. What's the difference, right?
They both wear plaid skirts. That's all I know.
Or did she go
That's
to
all
Hockaday?
I know.
They're cute. They like they're cute.
They have plaid skirts.
Oh, man.
And then we started talking about, within the same Plano story, Dave came up with a new slogan.
Like, how do these places not get shut down instantaneously? But, yeah, and then, of course, there's drugs that are involved in this, too.
It seems like a dangerous business model to get into.
Man.
Like, you don't think that it can last that long.
Yeah.
If you're going to be sex trafficking women and selling drugs.
Right.
I feel like you need to say that without laughing.
Have you seen the, not the latest Shogun episode, but last week's when he's taken to a Japanese house of love?
I don't think so.
I watched the first half. I need to...
Yeah, you need,
need to finish.
You need to finish.
So to speak.
Lost interest.
If that is the way that all of the whorehouses were run, it would seem like that, that business model is could be successful.
Right.
Yeah.
That yeah, the ultimate respect for client and courtesan.
Right, right. The 1,200 feudal Japanese seemed to, they had it down.
Yeah, that was peak whores.
It really was peak whores.
I love slurry, Dave.
Oh, my God.
It really sounds slowed down, doesn't it?
It does. It's like, yeah, it's slowed down before slowing it down.
That was peak whores.
Jeez.
It was a John Mellencamp song, peak whores.
No.